Hello and welcome back to Doc Talk.
On Monday, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved ruxolitinib cream 1.5% for the treatment of non-segmental vitiligo in adults and pediatric patients 12 years and older, making it both the first FDA-approved therapy for repigmentation and the only topical formulation of a JAK inhibitor approved in the United States. This groundbreaking approval was supported by phase 3 data from the TRuE-V clinical trial program, which found that roughly 3 in 10 patients who were treated with ruxolitinib cream achieved 90% or greater improvement in facial vitiligo repigmentation after 52 weeks of treatment. Dr. David Rosmarin is Vice Chair for Research and Education at Tufts Medical Center, and he was also one of the leading investigators of the TRuE-V program. He joins us on Doc Talk to speak on the efficacy of ruxolitinib cream across various age groups and skin types, the accessibility of the treatment, and how the new FDA approval will provide patients who have struggled with standard treatments such as phototherapy with a promising therapeutic alternative. Just to get right into it, we all know that just 2 days ago, really, topical ruxolitinib 1.5% cream became the first FDA-approved treatment for non-segmental vitiligo in adults and pediatric patients 12 years and older. Of course, this is the first approved treatment for the repigmentation of the skin. And I know you played a very large role in the TRuE-V clinical trials that inspired this approval. So with that in mind, the first question I'd like to ask you is just, how does it feel that this has been approved and how does it feel to be a part of history?
Really exciting to be able to offer to patients a new option. It's kind of surprising that here we have over a million people in the United States that suffer from vitiligo, yet previously no approved options to repigment them. So having this option to offer patients hope gives me a much better feeling, and hopefully we can really get patients to their goals.
Absolutely. And speaking of patients, I was speaking with Dr. Raj Shovatia, who works with us quite frequently, and he mentioned that, you know, prior to an approval like this, patients would tend to phase in and out of care for a variety of reasons. Maybe they couldn't afford certain treatments or they were kind of disillusioned with the whole treatment process. So I just wanted to ask you if you could speak to the accessibility of a therapy like ruxolitinib cream and how it might change the minds of some of these patients who were for years struggling with finding a therapy that would work for them and their condition.
One of the challenges with treating vitiligo is that our big treatment is phototherapy, and that's really inconvenient and inaccessible for many. To have to come into an office that for light treatments 2 to 3 times a week is really inconvenient and sometimes prohibitive. Also, it can be very costly if there are copays each time a patient needs phototherapy. So having an option where patients can use at home a cream twice a day, and the convenience of that is really important. The best ability is availability. If a patient can't access a treatment, it's no good.
If you could speak to some of the data that came out of the TRuE-V clinical trials, and if you're to talk to a patient about this data, what key points you would like to address and say, hey, this cream has had great efficacy in these trials, and I think that you should consider.
After using the cream for a year, half the patients got 75% or more of their pigment back on the face and 50% or more of the pigment back on the body. Additionally, about 30 to 40% of patients who use the cream describe their vitiligo as either no longer noticeable or a lot less noticeable. So really meaningful results for patients. I wish I could say that treating vitiligo is really quick. It can take time, but the more patients use the medicine, the more benefit they seem to get.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, how it does take time. How might the pacing of a treatment like this, of course, you mentioned you use it twice a day, it can go on for months where you slowly start to see results. How might that differ from some of the previous treatments that would take maybe a longer amount of time and the results didn't really appear as blatantly as they might with something like ruxolitinib?
It's something that we still don't know about. Why are some patients early responders and why are some patients late responders or non-responders? And we just don't have those answers. Some patients can get a really rapid response from phototherapy, and similarly, some can get a really rapid response from ruxolitinib cream. But there are others where it takes more time, And our studies seem to show that the more patients use the medicine, the more benefit they get from it. And it's important not to give up on the cream too early, giving it at least 6 months.
And would you recommend that it be paired with other management efforts as well? Or is it just a case of you could pretty much use the cream and just see how it goes over time?
So the current phase 3 studies looked at ruxolitinib cream as monotherapy. However, it may be that in combination with phototherapy, it will be synergistic and we'll get an even better response. So those studies are ongoing so we can give better advice to our patients. We know that at least from the phase 2 study, when patients were allowed to use phototherapy at the very end, there wasn't any safety signals that came up. So the combination seems to be safe, but we still want more data on how effective it is in combination versus using ruxolitinib cream alone. I'd also like to add that when we do subgroup analysis, so when we look at patient age or how long they've had the disease for, race, ethnicity, all those different subgroups, it seems like patients routinely have a similar response to ruxolitinib cream. So it's nice that even if a patient has had the disease for over 50 years, they still have the potential to repigment, similarly to somebody who's had the disease more recently.
Absolutely. And I think the point there is really sky's the limit. Now that we have this first approved therapy, now we can see how it can be adopted in other treatment methods as well, I'm sure. A friend and another person that works with us quite closely, Dr. Lisa Arkin of University of Wisconsin, I want to quote her here at the end of this interview because she said that the real celebration here is that with this approval, we'd be looking at ongoing autoimmunity in the skin, and that an approval for vitiligo kind of takes us one step closer to figuring out this particular skin condition, as well as others like alopecia areata and atopic dermatitis, which of course, this has also been approved for that as well. So could you speak to how this might result in, I guess, a brighter future, not just for vitiligo patients, but for the dermatology field in general?
So this is a first step for treatment of vitiligo. However, it's also significant in the type of autoimmunity, which we're treating here. This is a Th1 response. That's the arm of the immune system that's too active. And for those different diseases where that arm is too active, maybe this cream can work for others as well, such as lichen planus. And so there's, I think, a really bright future for treating some of these inflammatory skin conditions with every step forward that we take.
We'd like to thank Dr. Rose Marin for joining the program, and thank you so much for listening. If you want more dermatology news, make sure to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Tune in next week for a new episode of Doc Talk.